Hi you guys, welcome back. It's officially season 2 of Wine, Weed, and Weave, and I am so excited to be back. You guys really like that pre-season sip and sesh, super appreciate it. But this is just going to be a little intro before we get into this episode. Once again, the episodes are going to be every Sunday evening, so that's when episodes will be live. If they're not live, then I'll make an announcement prior. And just stay tuned for what we have coming up this season. Also learned that if I add music that's not mine to my podcast, I cannot monetize, meaning I cannot get paid. So we're not going to do that. We're going to figure out something else. Maybe I'll make a little custom season song. Who knows? We'll see. But you guys enjoy the episode, and hopefully you have a joint or a glass of wine ready. Conversation. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I'm like, oh, this is the best way to wake up. And then the thing is, my phone died in the middle of the night because I got into an argument with this boo.
Oh no.
And I was just like, I guess like I got so sleepy I forgot to put the phone on the charger. And then when I woke up to put it was like 12:30, and I was like, oh shit.
Oh no.
Oh shit. So I put it on the charger and I'm like, okay. Get done either way. So I was like, is it video?
Yes.
Do I have to fix my phone?
I fully thought I lost my phone this morning. I went to sleep like mad high and I just could not find my phone this morning.
You're like, yo, who stole my phone?
Yeah, bro? I was like, damn, where did I put it? Okay, I had an edible, then I had, then what did I do?
The edible, and it was like, away.
It was under my pillow. I don't know why.
Because you probably was hugging on it.
I probably was. I understand. But we got it done. We're here.
Exactly.
We're here and we made it. And I'm just so excited to chat with you. I mean, we chat on Instagram every now and then, but like now I get to really, really like talk to you for real. And I already feel like I talk to you because your page is just like, you're just talking to us.
Yeah. Because I just be talking. I'll be like, okay, yeah, this is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Like I'll sit and I'll roll up with you on your story.
Hey, that's the way to do it because there's just not enough of us.
Yeah.
Like, you got the white version of everything, but it's like, okay, what about the ones of color? We got the same type of point of view, the same type of struggles. It's just not the same struggle, but the premise is the same. The struggle is different.
Yeah. I'm not even going to cut this out. This is welcome back, y'all. To Wine, Weed, and Weave. We already got into it. It's Sunday. We're here. We're high. We're happy. We're healthy. And this is gonna be, you know, it's the first episode of the new season, so why not? We're just gonna do a little differently. I'm Ayana, aka the marijuana Ayana, and today my guest, I'm so excited. We've already like been chatting up for the past 5 minutes. I was like, wait, I gotta do my intro and stuff. I'm like, actually, I don't really feel like editing all this out. This is so great. Let's keep it in here.
I need to be keeping it raw.
Yeah, just keep it in here, man. And I'm super excited. Please pronounce your name for me because I don't want to get it wrong. So you'll probably get it wrong all the time.
Okay, so it is Vunique.
Vunique. Okay, yes. That's what I thought it was. But y'all know her as High Commentary on Instagram. She is just this, oh, I can't explain. Black women are so bad. She is just,
yes. Black women are so bad.
Like bad in a good way. She is just bad.
Like bubblegum popping back.
Bad black woman on Instagram who advocates for cannabis, advocates for women. She's a content creator. She's been in the cannabis industry. She's based in Las Vegas. You're the owner of your own company now, I saw. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Vive Raviv. And she's also, fun fact, you're my second Haitian on the show, and I'm also Haitian. I know. We out here. There's more.
We out here. People sometimes to say that they are Haitian.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's this whole like proudness of being mm-hmm. Haitian.
That's what made me like
because
follow
they started
you immediately.
Seeing, like, GZ.
I was like, another Haitian girl in cannabis. What? Like I've only seen like 4 or 5 of us.
Girl, I think I automatically follow.
Just like, yep, follow. If you see the flag, you follow.
Yeah, if I see a Haitian flag on the profile or something, I'm like, yeah, I gotta do it. I think of my dad nagging me, like, oh, mes amis.
Shout out to Saskia. Saskia was our my other guest on the show, and she's also Haitian. She's also in the cannabis industry. So shout out to the Haitian girls in cannabis. But how are you, sis?
Yeah, because you know how hard it is having Haitian parents and
Oh
knowing that,
man,
you know,
my
man.
father is not too happy with what I'm doing.
Oh, my dad ain't happy. He be like, "Male fe, male fe." And I'm like, "Dad, you know, I barely speak any Creole, but I understand all the
Oh, my
curse
dad fully
words."
thought I was a drug dealer when I was bartending.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad's like, so you're trying to go
He's
to
like,
jail?
so you're
You want to
drug
go to
dealer.
jail,
He
huh?"
was like, oh, everyone has a phase. I'm like, Dad, this is not a phase.
Yes. Sometimes I'm on FaceTime with him and he's like, "Are you smoking?" I'm like, "Smoking
What are you
what?"
talking about?
He's like, "That stuff." I said, "Dad, you know where I
You
work."
know what I do.
"Oh, you know what? Let me give the phone to your mother. I do not want to see this."
The thing is, like, everyone else doesn't care though. Like, it's usually just the dad, but like everyone else is like, eh.
Yeah, my mom was the one that was hiding it
Everyone
over
else is like
years.
cool with it. It's just the dad figures. Haitian dads, it's just weed. Get on board.
Yeah, they just don't want you to be seen as a stigma or a
Yeah.
statistic. So that's why I kind of pretty much gave my dad the degree, because I wanted to prove to him, like, you can
And still,
smoke and be a functional
exactly, and
stoner.
still be respected. We're gonna get into all this, but before we start, we gotta say what we're smoking and sipping on today.
Oh, yay. Okay, so I did a little
Okay.
cocktail. So I got some Gucci Gucci. It's not really Gucci because it looked like Gucci.
Okay.
And
Okay.
I got some Jupiter, which is a really good, you know, hybrid indica. Gives you the giggles,
Okay.
makes you think outside the box. And then I got my
Yes.
Stella Rosa. You know my
Stella
Stella
Rosa is
Rosa, like, you know,
delicious.
I love that, you know.
It is
Yes, and it's
self-care
self-care
Sunday.
Sunday at the same time.
This
So we're
is
like
why I
killing
like
two
having
birds with one
episodes on
stone.
Sunday. Because you're really just chilling, and I really just
Yeah,
want
God
everyone who
said
comes
drink
on here to
wine.
just feel comfortable and relaxed. And like, this is not an interview. We're just kicking it and smoking, you know? So I am drinking
Yes.
water. I had lots of
Water.
sangria last
Hey,
night. I had so much sangria
that
last
sounds
night. Listen.
winey.
And I love sangria. It's so
Oh,
good,
you're
but I
a
haven't had it in a while,
detox.
so I forgot when it hits, it hits. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, girl, you're gonna
Yeah,
get a
sangria.
headache.
It was red
Was it red
sangria.
or white?
I love red sangria. It's
Oh
so good. But when you
Jesus.
have like too much of it can give you a really bad headache. So right now I'm having some water, which is
Yeah,
also lit, but I
yeah.
am smoking on some pink lemonade, which is one of my favorite sativas. And it tastes like bubble gum. It's really yum. So
Ooh.
it's still lit over here.
Want some of that. That
I
sounds
don't
good,
have
pink
any weave in my
lemonade.
hair. She's all natural today, but that's fine.
Oh, I got
That is
weave.
fine.
That
That's what
shit
we
is
want.
sewn the
We
fuck
want you to
down.
just be like, you know what? Yes, I have weave. I paid for it. I hate when people are like, is that your hair? I'm like, I paid for it. Yes, it is.
It is
If I pay
mine.
for it,
I
it's
did
my
pay for
hair.
it. A whole. If I pay like $200 is my
Your
hair.
whole
$300 is my
saga
hair.
with those faux locks, oh my God. I
Oh
was
my
like, please get these out of her head.
gosh. You know, till this
Oh
day,
man.
that girl ain't pay
I
me
was like,
back.
just take them out. Just take them out.
And then, like, but I did make a complaint to that Better Business Bureau, the Hair Bureau, whatever it is. I sent them a message. They're like, did she contact you yet? And I'm like, no.
Man, oh man. All
Water under
right.
the
I got my
bridge.
first bong hit. Woo. Oh, what are you
Ooh.
smoking out of? I always ask this question. I smoke it out of
Yeah.
my bong today. Are you smoking a joint? Bong.
I am smoking from a Juicy
Ooh.
J Terp Enhanced Hemp
Interesting.
Wrap. Yeah. I'm like, dude, Juicy
Listen,
needs to
sponsor more
sponsor
black
me.
girls.
Shit, I
I
buy your
need
shit
more of
all the
these wraps
time.
and these hemp companies to sponsor the black girls who are like promoting the heck out of their brands.
And not the ones that look like
Like
they could be
not
Spanish or
yeah,
biracial.
like
Like,
I'm
give
also
me
exotic. I don't
real.
need to have green eyes to look exotic.
Exactly.
We'll get into all
Hello,
of this,
we're
but,
Haitian. That's exotic enough.
I just want to know, like, out of curiosity, when and how did you start in the cannabis industry? We're going deep.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, I moved to LA when I was about like 27. And I already smoked, you know,
you guys
being
can
in the
hear
Bronx.
Her,
like,
you're
you gonna hang
Don't
out with your
you
Harlem
hear.
friends. Yeah, like
in
the Bronx,
just...
we were just like smoking in the hallway. Or in Harlem, we're smoking in the hallway. We'll do like 15 people ciphers and stuff. And one time, one of my homeboys was like, "We ain't gonna be rolling up your weed all the time." And I'm like, "What you mean?" And he's like, "You gonna learn how to roll. I'm gonna buy
like
15 Dutches. Each one you break, you gotta pay me back for."
That's a lot
so,
of pressure.
So, you know, after like the seventh time of breaking it, I had to pay him $7. I did. But I got it right. And then I also learned, like, you really don't want other people really rolling up your weed. Especially, you know, you don't know what people put in your shit or they could put in your shit. So then I was like, you know, the art of weed. Then when I moved to L.A., I was smoking. Didn't know about bongs.
Mm-hmm.
All I knew was about, you know, the funtel and, you know, the blunts. And then L.A. kind of taught me more about the taste and the terps and, you know, the quality of flower, knowing the difference between
that,
like,
Reggie.
That boo-boo weed, that Reggie. Yeah, and, you know, that good shit. And I'm like, wow, like,
that's
I think
okay.
I smoked Reggie a few times.
All right.
You know, because, you know, in L.A., you're like, oh, shit is fabulous. And then I got my first job when I moved to the Bay Area because I went to Cal State East Bay in the Bay Area because I needed to go to the Yay. I was like, okay, I'm missing New York a little bit. L.A. is beautiful. It's my second home. But
yeah,
I
know what
something
you mean.
Similar
the Bay is
to
very
where
similar
I'm from.
To the energy of New York. It's just West Coast New York, basically.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, I went to school at Cal State East Bay, and then I really started learning because I was in college, but also working at Garden of Eden, which is a dispensary out in San Leandro, like not too far from Hayward. So that's when I really got into the terps and cancer patients and AIDS patients and even ex-drug addicts that come in, you know, veterans that need it. And then I started, you know, trying to figure out, okay, what's the difference between sativa and indica? What are the benefits? What could help that person who has cancer? What could help that person who has AIDS? And then it started to become more serious for me, where it's like, I could possibly save somebody's life if I'm aware of this information. And yeah, and, you know, then I started telling my dad, and of course, he's like, oh, I do not want to hear this. I don't want to hear this. You know, I'm taking the phone away from my ear, you know. But then I would explain to my mom, like, look, like, dad has sciatica. It could help him. Some CBD. Oh, but CBD is marijuana. I'm like, no.
I've had this conversation
it's
so
a
many times.
Piece of
it's like
it.
Wall.
Yeah, and I'm like, dad.
Yeah, you're like,
like,
I'm
you know, you
to
see your parents
you.
Getting older.
And you just have this stigma about
weed,
so you
and
don't,
you know,
like, you're not accepting to it.
Yes. Yeah. And, like, you know, when I started working at, well, I left, graduated, you know what I mean? I moved to Vegas and I started working for this dispensary. That's when shit got serious because I noticed that I am dealing with a larger amount of people.
They're
out here
huge.
In Vegas, the dispensaries are way bigger. Yeah. And they really like to focus on medical patients. So now it's like, okay, I'm a counselor / butt tender because you will see customers come in crying, finding out that they just have, you know, that they have stage 4 cancer. And, you know, now your emotions have to shift because you feel that. Or, you know, I had a customer say that her mother has cancer now. And she's trying to get her mother the things she needs. Now, because I'm a mama's girl, I'm invested. So now you want to find RSO, you know, Rick Simpson oil. You know, you're telling them, make her drink green tea with that RSO. And now you're starting to care mm-hmm. for somebody that you don't even know, because you know you have that type of power to, yes, and the product. Because we have RSO, but we also, I think as I've gotten deeper into the cannabis industry, I started to learn more of the spiritual, emotional benefits and medical benefits of it, where you can help older people who are stuck in their ways and their perception of marijuana. And now they're like, oh my gosh, it's so much better.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do the doctor's meds. I smoke this or I eat this and I'm so much happier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes me happy because they want to come back to me. Some I will mean, let other really people skip are. Them because they're waiting
That's
for
a
me.
Good point. You know, I've, they had, only I've trust been a bartender. Me. I've had lots of other people who were bartenders on the show. And I don't think anyone's explained it that way. But you really are like the therapist and the doctor and the kind of like place of comfort, because sometimes, you know, you get some bad news, you have some health issue, yeah. and your last chance is cannabis. Your last chance to feel better is cannabis, and they come running to you for help. And
yes.
I just thought of so many examples where I was working in a store and I saw someone older who was in pain, and then I saw them 2 weeks later and they weren't in pain. And it's just the craziest thing when you get to see that in real time. And you said yes. that Las Vegas is very focused on like the medical industry, which I find interesting just because like it's Vegas and it doesn't seem like it's focused on the medical industry, but I can yeah. totally understand why, because yeah. it's just such a huge market there. But what has your experience? Yeah, like I mean,
and
it's
also
Vegas,
you know, so that's
like,
what
oh, it's
keeps
like,
the lights
you know,
on.
Gambling and like the strip and stuff there, so you would think people are just more so going for the recreational aspect of it. But it's interesting to hear that it's more the medical aspect mm-hmm. that's like getting the most attention. What's been your experience like in the Las Vegas cannabis industry? And what would you like to see more of, or like tired of seeing of? I'm sure you got some advice and some Woo! Tips for us, because I don't think anyone who's in the Las Vegas industry, I'm in Seattle yes. right now, so I have this Seattle, but every industry, what I've learned is different. Like people who are in California are experiencing something different than people who are in Denver. And you're my first Vegas one. So I'm just curious yes. what is happening out there. What's going on? Like, what's the word?
I would say as for Vegas, like you got dispensaries that, you know, strive to focus more on medical, and then you do have dispensaries that are industry related. And some of the dispensaries that are industry related is really more cultured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not really based on the medical side. Where I work is like one of the biggest dispensaries in Vegas, and they started off as medical, so they were always known as medical before they became recreational. So for them, I only learned the professional way, but I already knew the cultural way being in the Bay, working at Garden of Eden, where like, you know, yeah, you got to be cute. You know, true. You got to attract the dudes because the dudes bring the money, you know, and they're going to buy. True. So you got to, you know, keep that cute image. And then when I started working in Vegas, it was like, yeah, you're cute, but what do you have to offer? And you would think that because it's Vegas and it's all about tits and ass and show business and all this stuff, that it would be more so based on that. You know, yeah, of course, my job definitely looked for women who are attractive, because I think everyone at my job is pretty. All the men are somewhat handsome or cute or this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
However, you have to have the ability to take in knowledge, and you have to have the gift of gab. You have to be able to show empathy and understanding, and also provide knowledge to the customer. And that is something that caught my eye with where I work. Cause it's like, okay, I don't always have to be, you know, pounding makeup on my face. I could go with a plain cute face. Exactly. I'm good. And as long as I make people feel good and I leave a lasting impression, then I've done my job. But it's not only, you know, my job, it's also practice for what I want to do. Because, of course, you know, yeah, you know, I love mm-hmm. bartending. However, that's not my God's mm-hmm. gift. It's my ability, but it's not my God's gift. So if I can create a platform where I'm able to be a motivational speaker, but so happen to smoke cannabis mm-hmm. and be, you know, with a college degree yes. and of Haitian and Puerto Rican descent and from the hood, I have a piece of everybody in me.
Yes.
It's just sure. the evolvement of that. Because I came from the Bronx. I come from 241st and White Plains. And that's
where people, I'm
that's
sure,
where the Jamaicans there, you know.
Locked up taxi. For small amounts of weed for no reason.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's you don't have the luxury of being able to smoke weed as you yeah. would in L.A., or
but
in
still
Vegas,
people
where
sick in New
it's
York
legal,
too.
You know, they're working
who
on that.
Need it,
but
just as bad as people who need it in LA.
Yeah, and they have to go to New Jersey to get it. You know, if you're in the Bronx and you're moving and you're yeah. like going to New Jersey,
if you don't have a car, I'm sure
that's
much
far
farther
to have to get medication. And yeah, so luckily, like my dad's driving Miss Daisy. You know, but my dad ain't, he's not that knowledgeable in that, you know, people, my mm-hmm. parents' age, they think that weed is a drug. It is not a health benefit. And, you know, going back to college and finishing and taking up something that has to do with who I am. Like I took ethnic studies and communications.
Mm-hmm.
Ethnic studies is, you know, the study of ethnicities. I didn't want to take something that's typical that's going to put mm-hmm. me in a category where I have to do this to survive. I wanted to take something that I can influence in order to survive. So, you know, there's a different state of mind. And when I've learned, like, people forget that hemp comes from cannabis. And I didn't even know that a lot of these older buildings were made out of hemp. Now, mm-hmm. these new buildings are made out of corn, which is why it falls apart. So hemp is a very expensive material, which is why now most apartments, t-shirts, clothing, items are made with corn.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see those old school buildings, and especially if you go to New York, a lot of those buildings
that's
are made
why
with hemp.
There.
And that's why
that's
if
why
something was to happen,
ass.
Nothing would happen to
crazy
those buildings.
Because you see that, like...
Yeah.
At one time, yeah. once, like, weed was associated with blackness or Latinos, like, once weed was just a drug in those communities, it was bad. And then now that it's a whole industry, it's good. But still, people who are in those communities, like, can't access it, can't get as much information about it.
Yeah. My mom doesn't know. Like, I have to send... You know, like, I'll send my mom CBD products. And then I'll be on FaceTime and be like,
try
I need
quick.
You to use it. I need you to eat this gummy. And I'm, yeah. And, you know, one
they
thing that
smoke.
Older people
I
like
that.
Is candies. They like gummies. They don't want to smoke, you know. My dad still won't do edibles
it's
because
drug.
He's Haitian. And,
drug.
You know,
oh
to him,
God,
it's like
I'm
you're
like,
playing
oh,
stupid
no,
with
not.
Him, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
He'll take the now. He'll take the CBD.
That's progress.
But he doesn't.
He,
but he doesn't even want to take it internally. Like he has
that.
Like a yeah.
Probably.
Man, it took me 2 years. I've been with the company for 2 years, and just now, my dad. Yeah. I think he feels like, look, I think my daughter knows enough now, and I'll send
yeah,
you know CBD, and I'm like, Dad, you need to rub that on your cut. You know, you need. Yeah, you need to, like, it's CBD cream. So now, like, he'll do it just to make me shut up. Will he stay consistent? You know he won't. You know, like, it's simply to shut me up.
Well, listen, this
and
is a good
also,
transition. Because
you know,
where they can't
really
shut
works.
You up is your Instagram page. You can put whatever you want on your Instagram page. Oh man,
he got other family members looking at it. He said, oh, Johnny saw your Instagram. Johnny saw your podcast.
Leave me alone.
He said, oh, my goodness, you smoke? I said, Dad, I am 36 years old. Yeah, you can't. Look, stop covering for me now. You always want to come on the internet. You don't want people to know. It's like, dude, dad, come on. I'm on the internet, and at the end of the day, this could be possibly something that's going to put you guys in a better position.
With this idea for your page, like, for those who haven't seen her page, it's a lot of, like, wisdom there. And this specific episode is titled Cannabis of Confidence, and I titled it that for you, and then also because I wanted you on this type of topic, because just not even, like, probably 5 seconds from being on your page, I don't even know how I found it. I was like, I like her. She's Haitian. She smokes weed, and she is transparent and keeps it very real. Like, what gave you this idea to use this platform as, like, a catalyst to what you're doing now, or essentially what you want to do involving, like, cannabis and motivational speaking?
Honestly, in college, learning communications and ethnic studies and realizing that I was admiring Gary Vee, which I love, because he was the alter ego of me. However, being a woman of color, you fear being that expressive.
Don't let me get started.
You know, it's cool to do it. Yeah, it's cool to do it with your friends. It's cool to do it with the people, you know, who know of you. But it's another thing for you to have the gall to actually be like, you know what, I'm going to put this on a platform because there's got to be somebody like me who is very alpha. And, you know, that's a Haitian thing. I think a lot of Haitian women are alphas. And, yeah, you know, a lot of we are like the men. We take no shit. And we have that Haitian face, that demeanor, that seriousness where it could come off as intimidating. But it's tough love. You know, it's just like when people see how different cultures love their families, they see it as, oh, that's too much, that's too protective, that's too this. And it's like, no, they rather tell you the truth so that, like, someone else doesn't have to tell you.
Transparent, kind of, like, if you can't take it, yeah. Like, and
I felt like people needed that. Get out the kitchen. You don't want to learn. You don't want to grow. That's how my dad used to talk to me. And I used to think it was just like, oh my gosh, you're so harsh. But I feel like people like me needed that in order to become who we are today.
Vibe you put out on Instagram as well, just being like, I'm going to say what I want to say. And I don't think it's anything mean or anything like that. Like, for example. Yeah.
No, it's all about... It's all about this one thing that my dad has always told me. Do you want me to prevent you from getting hit by the car?
Good point.
Or you want me to let you get hit? And you know how Haitians are. It's tough the way they talk to you. But then when you look at it in retrospect, you're like, oh, I get it. In layman terms, do I tell you what you need to know so that you can learn from my mistakes and dodge the bullet? Or do I let you go in front of the bullet? But who am I as a woman of color to not try to stop you from getting hit by the bullet or hit by that car? And if I already got hit by that car or hit by that bullet, and me as a vessel is to let you know what could happen or the instances before it happens, then that's, I'm doing my job on this earth.
Yeah, I just have weed into it. I
smoke weed
because
too.
You add weed into it. Sometimes not taken seriously. But what's been, like, the feedback you've gotten so far? Like, have you had women be like, this is great? Or have you had just, like, question marks?
You know, I've had some women that, you know, some may find me a little boring. And I'm totally okay with that because I know the differences on what I see on social media in general. But I also know that I'm older. So it's more so of like, okay, you fuck with me, you fuck with me. You don't, that's cool too. Like, I can't change who I am to suit you. Just like I don't expect you to change who you are. But we could have a common premise and maybe a different struggle. But I feel like as women of color, we all have the same struggle. As long as you're a couple of shades darker than what is considered to be acceptable, you're I feel you and you feel me. We just have different
and that's okay.
stories now, listen, depending on the age and the environment.
This happen where I have these wonderful, beautiful black women on my show who I don't know how old you are, and then you tell me and I'm shocked. 36? How? Where?
I am 36.
Well, and yeah, that too.
Look, let me tell you. One, it's because I'm half Haitian and half Puerto Rican. Okay? This Haitian blood is I feel so blessed when before I was younger and I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be Haitian. I just want to be Puerto Rican, but I'm just like too dark. And they just don't love me enough. You know what I mean? And then as I got older and learned about the history of Haiti and understood the resilience of Haiti and the take no shit part about Haiti. Like, that's the only reason why Haiti is a poor country.
Basically.
Haiti is a poor country because they didn't want to take.
Pay for that.
Yeah, they didn't want to take no shit. Yeah, we're gonna just fight you, and you're gonna leave us alone.
Well, for some reason, that also
like gave that's how my dad broke it down.
Skin, like, where is the 36 asses? Where is it?
Yes,
you're like, who?
Girl, sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, wow, God has blessed me. Yeah. And then, you know, like my dad doesn't look his age and my dad's 70 something and my mom doesn't look her age. But I also feel like
taking care of yourself,
you know, that spirituality part where that. Yeah. And, you know, my dad's like a devout Catholic, of course, most Haitians are. And my mom is just kind of like, to me, she's kind of like,
listen,
a hippie.
That's basically my mom. You know, and my dad.
Without
my dad
the smoking
super
weed.
Christian Haitian. Don't smoke weed. He's super duper healthy. And then my mom isn't Haitian, but she primarily raised me and made sure that I knew I was Haitian and like kept it in my family and like kept me around Haitian food and stuff. And she's the hippie. Like, she doesn't care that I smoke weed. She's all for it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
She's
yeah,
like, I don't
my
care.
Mom is like, it's
she's
not
like,
my
you
cup
seem to be
tea,
making money.
You know,
and like, once
whatever
I
makes you happy.
And I started making money. She was like, okay, cool. This is cool.
Yeah. Oh, my mom now? My mom is always like, have a good day at work. Pray, mommy, pray. Be safe. So, you know, let the haters hate. Make
you
your
got
money.
Both. Yeah, this makes sense.
You know, so I
you
got two make, different personalities.
Now I totally understand you now getting, like, the softness and kind of the honesty and being open, but also being like open to new opinions as well.
Yeah, like my mom is more, I could, like me and my mom are best friends. So my mom knows everything. And, you know, my dad is the one that finds out stuff a little later and he's like, oh yeah, you and your mother are in cahoots, you know? So like with my mom, she kind of gives me like the right of way. You know, where it's like, okay, well, you smoke weed, you do your work, you get good grades. I can't be mad at you. But let's not tell your father yet. You know what I mean? Like, I can't be mad. As long as your grades are good, you're making your dad happy. And he doesn't have to know what you do to make him happy. You know? Yeah, so I told him, like,
I mean,
the day of
you
my
graduated,
graduation when I was
so
about to go on stage.
What can he do?
I was like, yeah. Hey, honors and dean's list. You know, Haitians love them some honors and deans. Yeah. Ooh, sweet. Dean's list. You know, they love
like
that.
Like,
oh, you know, because they want to have something to say to the family. Oh, dean's list. Yeah, honors. You know? So I'm like, look,
that's
I'm going to give you what you want, but you got to allow me to be me. You know, because my dad was like ethnic studies. You know, he's thinking like, you're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be a lawyer. And I'm
like,
I could still be a lawyer. I could be a lawyer of the culture.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, like, I'm like, Dad, look, I just want to sit down and purge my stories and allow others to be themselves with full transparency and authenticity, because that's the only way you're going to be able to be happy in
this crazy world.
This is a good
transition to my next question. How has cannabis like helped you with your journey to self-confidence and openness and transparency, if it has?
Oh, tremendously. I think when I'm sober, I'm really not myself. Like, there are things that I may want to say, but I'm too scared to say. Or things that I would want to, you know, express. Mm-hmm. That I would be a little too scared to express sober. I think when I smoke, I'm more expressive. I'm more open. Especially because I'm a person that has anxiety and I've dealt mm-hmm. with depression.
I totally relate.
It, to me, it's happy flower. And it's like...
oh, for sure. Say, like, this is why I don't drink liquor.
Better than liquor.
I just do wine.
Yeah, I only like wine. I only like wine because wine kind of like gives mm-hmm. you gives you the giggles, and the weed opens your mind. I feel very Bob Marley when I smoke. Like, I just like to sit there and take in where I'm mm-hmm. at, what I'm doing, how I'm feeling, what pace am I going, how my pace is. You know, am I doing too much or am I not doing enough? Because that is going to age you too. Not having your spirituality intact, just, you know, like my dad says, being a chicken without a head, not having a sense of self. And having a sense of self.
And that's hard
self
to do sometimes when you have anxiety
yourself.
And depression.
And that's and why.
When you add weed to it,
it is.
It makes you sit with yourself.
It
and
is.
Be like, all right.
Yes. And I watch documentaries and I'll be like, yes. Yes, and I gain inspiration from that. I think that weed puts
sure.
you in a space where it's your you time. And even if you're with somebody else, it's still your you time, but you're
Listen,
sharing each other's energies. And that's why I just can't smoke with everybody.
About, like, you know, I'm a big energy person, and I know you are too, but there is really a big thing about, like, who are you sharing blunts with, because it's a very intimate thing, I feel like.
Yes. Yes, it is, because every time you inhale and exhale, there's something that's rolling through your head, whether it's funny, whether it's off the wall, whether it's random, whether it's deep. And you want to be able to be comfortable with the person that you're smoking with to be that open or deep or spiritual. And that's why mm-hmm. I think spirituality plays a big role, like with people I smoke with. Like, you got to have some type of
because you can't just be
inhaling
and exhaling bad spirits
you.
Now.
Or mm. it could be a little bit in you.
You can't just be exhaling all that negativity in my house.
Yeah, no. No. Like, I mean, but I don't mind if it's like a truth teller time. Like, I'll sit down and, you know, listen to your truths and, you know, try to understand you in your shoes to be like, okay, mm-hmm. but how about this? How about if we do it like this? Or how about if you do it like that? Because mm-hmm. I'm very much for a solution, but a realistic one. You know, it's just like when you're dealing with potential, then ambition. I want friends of ambition, not potential. Because if you could mm-hmm. potentially be my friend, then you could potentially fuck me over.
These down.
You know what I mean? But if you have the ambition to be my friend, just like you may have the ambition to be my man, then that means the goal is already in fruition. We're working on it. It's already there.
Like,
it's already been there.
Down.
You're just
you
the addition.
Giving me all this knowledge. Listen.
Yeah, it comes out because of weed. Look, I told you. That's why I added Jupiter.
You just did it just now. I know. This is why I love
it. It just comes
live.
Out.
Sometimes
it's just fucking
like,
wisdom
sitting and, like, rolling a blunt because you really see it happening in real time on your story. So, like, see that you start your day, you'll be like, all right, y'all, it was a long
yeah.
day. I'm about to roll this blunt. And then you roll it and then you smoke it. And you see just yourself get progressively more
yeah.
relaxed, more open, and just have more information to give us on a clearer headspace.
Yes.
And I really appreciate that because I do it too. So it's cool to just see someone else doing it and doing it online because it shows you Black women, all of us do this all the time. Like, this is a part of our self-care. We have long-ass days.
And we're intellectual beings. We just been,
yeah.
you know, exploited to be sexualized. There's never been... There's not one Black woman I know of stature that is not intelligent. It's just that sometimes women, you know, especially young girls, are caught up in the sexuality part of society's perception of us, that they forget about their intellectual side. And then, you know, all of a sudden you see a lot of these Black men with the intellectual white woman. And you're like, why they don't want me? But sometimes you got to understand, not every man wants a sexualized woman. They want to hear what you got to say. What's on your mind? What makes you smart? What makes you intelligent?
I mean, that's a turn off.
Because
for
a lot of the times, sure, intelligence is a turn on.
Listen.
To the right guy.
You're going to bore the heck out of me.
Yeah, because if you're not smart, you're going to give me a headache. Yeah. I'm going
to
get a headache. I'm going
to
get
really
aggravated,
pretty,
and then the Haitian side's going to come out. And
nothing. I was like,
oh,
oh man, you're
girl,
so pretty.
That was pendejo. That was pendejo. I was just like, you know, you're so pretty. You know, you're in this modeling stuff, but it's like, you know, when you drop out of college to do modeling, knowing how this industry is, it's like, no, you're supposed to kill two birds with one stone, because after the looks fade, you will still make money in doing something, even if it's being a trainer for athletes.
Oh, it's like there has to be a
oh yeah girl
because
now I got
that,
a boo and
that
it's
is
totally
a topic
different
in itself.
Yeah,
well,
there's
all
a whole difference between dating
all
a pretty guy and a handsome man.
Dating, and I just love him because it's so honest, because you really been putting me in line sometimes, don't even realize it. And I'd be like, actually, you're right.
No, but you know, like, because I feel like us women, we hold so much in, especially as Black women, we hold so much in, we hide so much in. And it's like, look, if you could use your words.
You can.
You could stab a couple
on
souls.
Instagram, and you said something and I was like, all right, universe. Okay, all right.
Say that shit. I always be like, say that shit, because why am I going to sit in the negative energy that you placed on me when it's not mine? I need to transfer it back to you. I'm sending it back to the sender.
This is true.
To sender. You're going to let me be in my peace. And whatever you're feeling is whatever you're feeling based on your experiences and your environment. But
that's
I need
on,
you to know who
that's
the fuck
on
I
period.
Am.
Okay, speaking of period.
That's it.
Period. That's my favorite thing to say now. That's on period. Like, if someone tries me, I'm like, period. I don't care.
Yeah.
I want to go through some of your quotes and just get a breakdown, like, just a high current breakdown of what those mean and how we can apply them to our lives. Is that okay? I dug through your Instagram and I found a couple of my favorites.
Of course.
One, perfection is a personal concept. Can you break this down for us? High commentary. What does this mean?
Okay. So, it's because of, like, you know, we were talking about pretty boys and stuff. And being with the person that I'm with now, that's my kind of perfect. It's not the physical perfect, where it's like, you know, you think that pretty is perfect. No, pretty could be ugly. Because you could have a beautiful golden apple and have worms inside of it. Or you could have, you know, a little bit of everything all in one and you're completely satisfied. Every man is a pain in the ass, but I prefer a handsome man than a pretty boy. And I had to learn that perfection is a personal perception. Because what you may find beautiful is not something that I may find beautiful. But if we're both on that same realm, we're going to both find that beauty within that person beautiful. And it's perfection to you. But it may not be perfection to the next person, because maybe what the next person wants is not what you're striving for. So if I want to be, mm-hmm. you know, this female black Gary V, and my honesty and my due diligence of giving people tough love doesn't suit you. Yeah, you may go against me, or you may not like everything, but because you like the person, you'll still fuck with me. And I'm that type of person. I may not like everything that everybody does or posts or whatever, but if I know your heart is in the right space, then you're my perfection. And good that's point. My personal
perfection
perception.
Essentially is just up to you. Like, everyone's version of perfect is different. Your version of perfect is different than my version yeah. of perfect. And if I'm yeah, not perfect I find, like, to someone, woo. That doesn't mean I'm not, yep. not perfect to somebody else. I got you.
Exactly.
I mean,
I thought I wasn't like, perfect. I was perfect. Just like, oh my god,
perfection. It's a personal concept. Like,
it's what you make of it. Because I feel like now the person I'm with, that's my perfection. And I'm like, wow, I was really thinking that this.
You're like, no, this was not perfect was. For me.
I'm thinking like, oh my god,
this was perfect.
No, now I'm like, ooh, this is perfect. Like,
you didn't even.
Yeah, oh, like 6'2", big dick, nice, sweet. You want to do everything mean, for me.
So, you know, hold what? On to it.
I'm not going anywhere, you know, like, yeah, like even one time he was like, do you still, what?
My version of perfect is like, if I come home and someone that's already has a blood rolled for me, that's the version of perfect.
Yes.
If they're like, hey, you and, have, and I already somebody have a blood wants to take for you, to the walk in store. And be like, yes, you are perfect.
Yeah, like even my guy, he fucked it's up. Okay. He, you know, he had to go to clown school real quick. You know, with his assumptions, and he's like, "What can I Ulta do?" And I'm like, "Well, I like Ulta.
Gift cards. Those places are nice. They're open.
I like Sephora." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "How much do you usually spend on makeup?" And I'm like, "Whew." My dad could tell you that because he's the one that's been buying
and this
it.
Lets you go crazy.
And he just sits there in the security
and
chair.
And I'm sure to your dad.
Yep, he like, lets me and my mom and he's like, look, it's just look makeup.
Nothing here is perfect. And then you're like, no, everything
yeah,
is perfect.
He does not
everything
care for none of it. But then when he sees it on. Yeah. When I graduated and they were here, he was talking to the security. He's like, look, I have two women.
They're fine.
Two.
It's fine.
Do you see what they're
it's
doing?
Fine.
They're destroying my pockets as we speak.
It's fine.
He's like, look at these bags in my hand. I was dying. I'm like, so dad, yes. are you going to buy me
okay,
this makeup?
Okay, this is great for my second quote. Or your second quote.
Yes.
My mind is prettier than my face, and my soul outshines them both, darling. So break this down for us. I love this one. Let me say it again
yes.
for those that didn't hear it the first time. My mind is prettier than my face.
Hey, that's the older one. Yes.
Both, darling. This is these are quotes directly from her. Like, she didn't quote anybody
yes,
else. These are
because
things that she has said. You can find all these quotes on her Instagram.
No. I definitely know why I said that. And I think it was basically due to a saturation of people just looking
that.
At me in face value. And, you know, just seeing like, oh, she's cute, she's pretty, she's, you know, short, she's feisty. And I'm like, you don't understand that this feistiness comes with an intellectual mind that might hurt your feelings. Because not everybody wants to hear the truth. The truth hurts them. But I'm more of like, rip the fucking band-aid so I can move
I mean,
forward.
I feel this so much. I feel this
it's a
deeply.
Haitian
I
thing.
I need to talk to you after this.
Because that's how we are.
I have this problem
yeah, like,
all the time. Especially
it's
now.
Fucked
like,
to have
to
rip the band-aid.
Date during quarantine and corona. Because people are just seeing my face and just making these assumptions off of me. And then they get me so wrong and I'm so irritated because I'm just like, I know you're just looking at me and you're assuming I'm one way. And you don't even know that, like, you don't even know.
Yeah, you know, they're looking at the ass
and I have a business
and the face.
And you just, like, you can't even believe it. Yeah, I'm like, you
yeah, because we have Haitian dads that take no shit.
Can do anything past being an Instagram model. Like,
I mean, to make a shirt that
I don't
want to
give
like,
really my
I
dad
had
too much credit.
Dad.
No offense to him.
We're different.
It was a lot of my mom's doing, but I'm sure it was also like I have aunties that really raised me as well. All my Haitian aunts, they're from, yeah, my
oh,
uncles
they don't
too.
Play.
All
don't,
my
they
uncles
dudes
are Haitian,
too.
So
Haitian men
yeah,
too.
My aunts and uncles are pretty much like my second parents too.
Oh yeah,
and I think they definitely taught me that like you gotta come with
yeah,
more than just your face. Yeah, like my mom's favorite thing.
Your looks, yes. My dad always told me, like, you're pretty. Don't get me wrong. Like, he'll be like, oh, I created beauty.
Exactly.
However,
my mom said stuff
this
like that
beauty
all
can
the time.
Be rotten.
Certain she'd say, she'd be like,
so you need to
you're
learn.
Cute or whatever, but don't let that cute face get you locked out the door.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad be like,
you're like
you
yo.
Get yourself in there, you find your way out. I'm like, wow. You would do that to me? He's like, you need to learn.
Well, this is why I love
obviously
this quote,
you put yourself in a bad predicament
really
and I taught
like,
you better.
You know, I'm aware that I have this. I'm a woman. I'm beautiful. Women are beautiful. But that's not even the best thing about me.
Yes. Mm-mm. It's my soul. It's how I love people. Like, I don't have to be with you to love you. I love everyone.
I wouldn't suggest it.
Now, it's up to you if you want to play hangman with me. You know what I mean? Like, and I am very Haitian in that department. I will cut the neck. And that's it. So that's why I love everybody. I don't, you know, go by what other people say or, you know, I do care about how you treat somebody else because I feel mm-hmm. like how you treat that other person, there's a possibility you're going to treat me like that. And now I have to be on defense mode. I have to protect myself because I don't want to get emotionally attached to you. And that's friendships and relationships. Because in friendships, you become attached. You rely on that mm-hmm. person. You trust that person.
This is also
that's
a
your laughing
perfect
transition
to my next quote. You're doing great.
So...
So this next quote that you said is definitely like relationship and like people related. And you probably had a reason you said this too. I feel like someone might have pissed you off. But people.
Oh, yeah. Look, somebody in the cannabis industry hurt me. And, you know, like if when I have to come out of my character, mm-hmm. trust me, it's always going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
You're going
to
like say it with shots.
I'm
well,
going
to
hurt you
here.
Because
I don't know
you
who
hurt
you
me.
Were talking to, but we'll see. People will gravitate
yeah.
to you because of your transparency and dislike you for that very same trait, cut off the iffy ones. I said, what happened? You don't
yeah.
understand what happened, but of course
yeah.
I just want to get a little bit deeper into this quote, you know.
Oh, but you know,
because
I'm
I feel
honest.
This as well
really,
that
I don't care.
You know, you'll be. I'm sure people
yes.
come on your page and they go, "Oh my gosh, you're so honest, you're so open, you're so transparent, you're so confident." And then a couple weeks later, they're in your DMs being like, "You should talk less, or you should, you know, do this and this and this."
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and that's the difference. I honestly feel like. You know, the older I've become, I feel like the more Haitian I've become. It's that you don't give a fuck, you know? And I was kind of shocked, you know, another cannabis creator where, like, they kind of did me dirty. And I was just like, what? How? Why? You know, I'm very honest. I follow people mm-hmm. because I just may love their energy. I might not like everything they post or I may not be online. You know, there's different reasons, but it's never personal. As long as I'm following you, trust me, like there's no beef, you know, at all. But I am a wanderer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I'll just be in the house, just be watching TV. Don't look at my phone. Maybe I'll just scroll through and just like everything because whoever I follow, I gotta like. You know what I mean? But doesn't mean I like everything. Doesn't mean I don't like you. So I guess this person, I don't even really want to say her name because I think that people who know kind of know, because that person unfollowed me, didn't
well,
even want to
tell
me.
No names now. You know who you
but
are,
but you're
though.
On my live. And we're talking. Oh, she knows who she is because the girl was stalking me even after all of that. And was,
so do you,
you know,
feel like,
like
she was someone
trying
that
to rag out my
to
OnlyFans?
Because
like,
you were, you know,
people...
open to her and then ended up disliking you later for that?
Yeah. Yeah, for the same thing. Because in the moment of when she was bashing me and trying to taint my character, it's like I've been
silent.
Yeah,
you don't bother nobody online as far as I see.
And you've been just thrashing me. And you don't understand... Yeah, I don't look. I'm a very honest person, and it's like whoever fucks with it, fucks with it, and I just let myself be me because I want others to be them. And it may be boring to some, but I feel like if you're trying to get into the nitty gritty of who you are, what you're made up, what's, you know, your place on this earth, then you're gonna understand my realness. And I feel like sometimes people want to keep up with that realness, but they don't have it within them. It's a facade. It's something that, you know, it's something to do when there's nothing to do. But I do it because I have to do it. That's my place on this earth, is to do that, is to make that impact, is to, you know, be exposed to these situations and these, you know, quote unquote allegations. And like, she really tried some shit. Like, she tried some shit to be like, oh, yeah, you talk shit about this. That I'm like, dude, everybody knows I don't like everything because half of the time I'm at work. So I can't be on, you know, people's lives. But I've told people, like, dude, you want to go on live with me? Like, I don't care. Let me know the time, whatever. Like, I do that. I let you know my schedule. I'm open because... I like to interact with different walks of life. And that's why different walks of life tend to gravitate towards me. Because I got white people on my shit. And it's the ones that fucks with me. The ones that may have known me personally or maybe the person who hired me. You know, in this position where I'm in this job now. Like, I have the person who hired me who follows me. Because she fucks with me on a personal level. Where it's like, I get where you're at. I feel you. I'm getting older. I'm experiencing these things. I love your personality. You make it funny. You know, it could be a sad time for me. And you kind of make humor out of it because you've been there, done that. You're talking about it and you don't give a fuck. And I like to make people feel like that. It's like, okay, I'm going to get you out of that rut, whether I know about it or not. And you're going to build that tough love with yourself, where you're not going to take no shit from other people. And you're going to see that at times you do better by yourself because you need to be around the right people who are going to make you do better.
Yeah, it's
so
better,
I'm like,
to cut off
being alone
the
I
people
do well.
Who aren't supporting you.
I make money.
It's better to have the people who are supporting you in your corner, even if it's not a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't even matter. Yeah, like, instead of holding on to people that dislike you because of who you are, you know, hold on to the people that support you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're not going to be yourself. And then you'll be hiding yourself just to please other people who don't even care about pleasing you. Now you're unhappy. Now you got to sleep in that. You got to shower in that. You got to look in the mirror of that. And then you got to figure out how to find yourself. And I'd like to tell people that, you know, that are younger than me, because it took time for me to find myself. It took time for me to not give a fuck. It took time for me to have big dick energy, to, you know, to have this, you know, persona where I attract more guy friends than girlfriends, because girlfriends are more intimidated by how real I am. And guys are like, shit, she's a dude. And that's being in my skin, being comfortable in who I am. And it's a blessing. It's priceless to be like, to wake up and be like, I love me. I laugh at myself sometimes. I could be at the register, bored as fuck, no customers in, and I'm like, I'm a funny ass bitch in my head. And sometimes I sporadically say, you know, certain things to certain people that I'm cool with, and I say little jokes, and they're like, you need to, like, be a truthful comedian. Because, like, the shit you say, because I think I was, like, getting some weed, and I'm like, sometimes I just want to get some glass. I'm going to go to the Family Dollar and get a couple of glasses and just break them. And this, you know, white lady, she's so cool. And I feel like she has an old soul. She has, like, that spirit, and she's in her 50s, and I love her because her energy is like mine. And she's like, yeah, I kind of do want to go to Family Dollar, get some dishes, some break some shit. And I'm like, yeah, just toss shit over. Just let it out. You know, and we walk away and we laugh, and it makes people feel good because they could have been thinking that, but they're scared to, like, say it. And then I come out and I say it funny, and yeah, they're like,
I feel that.
She feels the way I feel. One more quote.
That's perfect transition again, because you just have this and confidence at all times. I think this is why people gravitate towards you, at least why I gravitated towards you, because I didn't really see, like I said, Haitian girls on the internet with weed who were speaking their mind, but you just had this confidence immediately, and your quote, consistent courage becomes confidence, is one of my favorites, because it's so simple and it's so quick, and it's something you can kind of, like, just say to yourself over and over again. But where did this come from?
Yes, consistent courage. Being scared of doing shit. You know, being scared of even being in friendships or relationships and you know, entering into different realms of you. You know, it takes courage to tap into that. To be like, you know what? I'm going to go on live with no brows, no lashes. It's courage. You know, because of course on YouTube, you want to look presentable. You know, you got to make sure that camera angle's good. You know, you want every hair to be neat. You're taking 12 different tries. When you're on live or in your stories, you're like, you're choosing to be that courageous in a space where people are scared to be that courageous.
Oh, I love Amanda.
Except for Amanda Seals, because that's the sister in my head. Yeah, that's the big sister in my head. That's the big sister I never got to have. Where it's like, she come with her hair messed up, but she got something to say. And she gonna say it. And I love that because that's me. So, like, I follow her. You know, I've even DM'd her. She sent me hearts. And, you know, like, because we're both cancers. We both feel. And we're very expressive. So it's like, I'm trying to get on your level. Like, you left the real. The real didn't leave you. It was too hot for them to handle. And that goes with the industry itself. And it's sad when you see the cannabis industry, which was, you know, relative more Hispanic and Black, to be whitewashed. And not in a good way.
Yeah, no, it's not.
You know, it's good to have, like, a little gentrification. There's nothing wrong with that, especially if you could better the community. Exactly. Like, it's you got to have a happy medium with life. And if you are tempted to want to do something that's outside of your element, nothing, like, you know, bogusly crazy that could put you in a bad predicament, something that could tap into that other side of you that makes you bold and ambitious and wiser and you know, more grown in your growth, you got to be courageous. And it's like, I'm here being a motivational speaker, and I haven't even shown people how I look. So I'm gonna go on live and not have no brows. And I'm going to show y'all how I get ready. It's very simple. You know what I mean? Because I don't want people to look at me for the beauty of me. I want people to look at me for, like, damn, this little feisty ass is a nerd. She is really trying to put people onto game in a way where she's taking her college education and her knowledge and her environment and her experiences, and she's giving it to us where we are scared to express ourselves. We're just showing people the happy side. We're not showing people, like, I'm fucking pissed. This motherfucker did this. Because we're scared to do it, you know, because we're going to be seen as, oh my gosh, you don't know how to behave. No, it's called expression. Just like white women express themselves, Black women express themselves, and now white women are starting to express themselves like Black women, and that's okay, but a Black woman can express themselves in the Black way. I am confused.
We gotta have you back on, girl. We have a couple more topics we gotta touch base on.
I am confused. I'm just
shoveled. She'll be back.
Man, girl, I am full of information. My head, that's why my forehead big.
Why did I just put my hand to my forehead? Yeah, I literally put my hand to my forehead. Like, oh,
you learn the most, bro.
Because we just have all these thoughts.
Yeah, and it's like we're supposed to have knowledge so we could. Yes. But it lets people have several seats because they're like, wow, I didn't know that was going to go that way.
Out there. It just like, I know there's more to come. I can't wait to see like the cannabis version, woman version, Gary V. I mean, you're already there, but like, I can't wait for everybody else to see it.
Oh, yeah.
And then once everyone else has caught up, I've been like, I done told y'all she's here. And listen to me.
Oh yeah, I'm so present because I, you know, it's crazy how I grew up from being a person who kind of like hated myself to loving myself. And when you go from hating yourself to loving yourself, you can never go back.
And
to
you
hating
see
yourself.
The difference, like
you because you love yourself so much, and that takes courage. Oh yeah, I wake up very Haitian. Like, I get up, and, you know, like, I love my Puerto Rican side, but that is my romantic side. That is my sweet side. That's my empathetic side, but my Haitian side's like, you get up and you make a difference. Yeah, we got to get this money. We need to be self-sufficient because you have Haitian blood. That determination is within you. And it's like, I'm just trying to share that to everybody.
We just got to share it to everybody else. Okay, so here's the portion.
You know, you step on the devil's neck.
Plug everything, all your pages, anything you're working on, any projects you have coming up. What should we stay tuned for?
I'm definitely going to do more podcasts because, you know, now, you know, I even had to tell my dude, like, look, like, this is what I do. I tell my life, you know, I'm, let's have, you know, podcast discussions about our relationship, you know, how we are building as a Black couple, you know, and you're dealing with a multiracial woman. And, you know, I want people to get a man's version of, you know, how they see me, not just the sugar-coated or, you know, what women see. There's different perspectives in relationships, so I want to be able to expose that.
Okay.
The differences. He's 25, I'm 36.
I like it.
So, that's what I'm like, you know, I had to tell him, like, we're going to do, he doesn't like to be seen, which is totally fine. I feel like, shit, I like the spotlight on me because I'm here to relegate and delegate shit so that women could be put on game to what dudes do or how life is. And, you know, are you going to be with me?
We should expect some podcast episodes, including him talking about relationships. I'm guessing also including cannabis too.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Oh, we both smoke. You know, so
y'all probably gonna be smoking
smoke
and
more,
talking on the
but,
podcast
you know,
together.
We both smoke and we're gonna smoke and talk on the podcast. Okay. Of course, I'm gonna try to do more YouTubes because now I have a helper. You know, I want to especially like use all these photos and turn them into like my quotes and have them written down, something that people can see. Not everybody, I mean, a lot of people look at my stories and you know, I'm putting out 7-word reels and 9-word wisdom stories just to make it short and sweet. And, you know, the elaborative parts will be in my stories or on my live. And that's why I pretty much like to keep my live. I like when there's not a lot of people in my live because I like to get personal with people.
Have that one-on-one.
I like to be more honest. And, you know, he could be here. Yeah, like he could be here and, you know, you're not going to see him, but he could be next to me and I'm just, you know, talking and people are asking questions and I'm just answering them and being honest. And I told him, like, you need to be able to handle these things, not saying that your face has to be shown, but you are a part of my life and I am very transparent with my life. So, you know, I'm going to continue being transparent and honest and real and, you know, keeping my emotions raw and open, because that's going to allow women especially to want
and
better
feel like
men
they can be open themselves,
better women.
Like also feel like they
because
can,
I get them all.
I think you set a great example.
Yeah. That's why I love me some Ricky Thompson.
Because he's just like, I'm going to be
I
myself.
I love me some Ricky Thompson.
Y'all can take it. And if you don't like it, that's fine.
Yeah. And being himself has landed him in the positions that he is in. And that takes courage. It takes courage because you really have to get beside yourself.
Because it's hard to do it by yourself.
That's another reason why. Because, yeah. And when you smoke, it's kind of like another person, like another you in front of you.
And
you're like,
weed, like, breaks down my ego.
Do that shit.
Like, break down the ego. Break down the fear.
Yeah.
Just do what you want to do, you know?
Yeah, and there's this stigma. Like, I feel like low-key.
Oh, I know he smokes weed.
Gary Vee has to do some weed. You know, like...
I feel like he's invested in some capacity.
You know, but he's not... Yeah, so it's like, you know, he may not show it and he'll, you know, say no. But I'm like, dude, weed is a whole nother world in your mind. I don't think it's a gateway drug. You know,
I've
people always think, oh, weed is a gateway drug. No, it's not. It's a gateway to the fridge.
I've never been like, you know what I want now?
Never been interested. I don't want to put nothing up my nose.
Just so y'all know.
Yeah, no, I don't want anything up my nose and I'm not sticking nothing in my arm. And I've never
wanted to, never desired to, never been,
you know,
like,
peer pressure to.
That's the stereotypes to me. You're like, it's going to make you want to do other drugs. And I'm like,
it's a gateway to the fridge.
I ate too many Oreos. Like, that's all.
Yep.
That's all.
Or I decided to order Popeyes. Like, that's it. It's never been a gateway to anything else. I think that is a personal decision that a person decides to make because they feel like weed doesn't do it for them.
Like,
because maybe they just smoke too much.
Them that they have to, you know, maybe seek other help for.
Even when I have customers. Yeah, even when I have customers and they're like, oh, my
tolerance
is high. I'm like, you're going to have to start taking some CBD. Because CBD... Yeah, because CBD will lower your tolerance. Smoke CBD instead, then. They're like, oh, no, okay, well, then I guess you want your tolerance to stay. So if you decide to go into a higher drug, that has nothing to do with weed. That has to do with you not
and
trying
just, like...
to step back a little bit. Because that means you're smoking too much. That means you're smoking almost 24 hours a day if your tolerance is that high. Because I'm smoking, look, I ain't even smoked my whole blunt yet. And
I didn't finish my bowl.
I'm nice. You know what I mean? The last time I smoked was last night. Yeah. Because it's like, you don't need too much. It's that there's a stereotype and a stigma that you need
Vegas,
to smoke pounds.
It's like, kind of like
and
the
that's
culture
what I
of
don't
like you got to get exotic and have the big blunts, or is it still more so medical?
It's really not like that. It's more so of knowing what to smoke. And when you know, are a butt tender, I think that is a big help because you really become a functional stoner. I didn't know about sativa and indica. I didn't know the differences. I didn't know the caryophyllene and limonene. You care for that.
Yeah,
stuff.
You would just get
Bronx,
what you get.
Like, oh, okay, you got a dub. Yeah, you got a dub. Oh, all right, this shit good. You know what I mean? But, you know, being in this industry, I see it as more, they're using it as a party drug, as a gateway drug to party, more so than understanding, like, you could be a lawyer and smoke. You could be a doctor and smoke because you're using it for your anxiety. or, you know, you're a person that overthinks and you need to smoke a little bit to kind of calm your brain down, you know. And there's a lot of musicians that smoke, that are like drummers and shit. They smoke. It's not just the artists. It's the people behind the artists that are inspired by cannabis that makes them, you know, help the artists put out the music that they put out.
Okay, so you said sativa and indica, right? So now I have, like, this random bit of, like, stoner questions for you. Because these, I ask everybody.
I am down, bro.
So you can, like, really break down your answers for these, okay? So out of your, or if you can only have, like, one of these for the rest of your life, would it be sativa or indica or a hybrid? Okay.
Sativa.
Why a sativa?
And I like sativa. Sativa because you have to live life a little happier despite whatever you may be going through. And for me, I feel like with indica is more so you'll always be down.
This is true. If you have indica you'll all the time, you would always just be like sleepy.
Yeah. You'll be down and hungry all the time, down and hungry. And I like indicas if I have problems sleeping. But if I have to stay up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning and I'm high as a kite, but I'm happy and I have things to say and things to express or things to try, then I am living
with the sativa.
Life.
Okay.
With a sativa.
Okay.
Happy and giggly.
Good answer. Okay, next, blunts, bongs, joints, or edibles. This is, once again, you can only have one.
Ooh.
For the rest of your life? Okay.
I need hemp blunts.
That was going to be my next question, but you already answered that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need Juicy J hemp blunts for the rest of my life.
Sponsor her.
Yeah. I need that cherry pie.
Dabs or pens?
Ooh, that's hard because I just recently got a blonde pen, which is live resin. And I feel like that's dabs too.
Okay, it's like a dab in a vape. So I'll say like the oil pens, like the cartridge pens, or like a dab, even if it's in a pen form. But you can only have, like, you have to either get rid of dabs or get rid of pens. You can only have one.
You know, that's hard because, you know, now there's technology and you could be having a fucking in the street.
You could be dabbing in the street now.
I'm seeing all these $300... Yeah, like I be seeing, like, what's that?
That
Toka smoke or whatever, and they be putting oil. Yeah, and I'm like, what? I mean, I'm trying to get me one of those, but you know, it's like you can take that anywhere with you.
So it's like, the torch and the just the regular dab.
okay. I think I would actually do the dab just because I know that with vaping, you know, you're using metal, you're heating up that metal. And I would rather heat up the glass.
This makes sense. I haven't taken a dab in so long. The first time I took a dab, I don't even know what happened.
oh
my goodness. I didn't pass out. I was fine.
Luckily, at the dispensary, there's a couch. Nice. Oh, man, I needed the couch. Luckily, I was in L.A. I was going to LACC. And, you know, the first time you come in, you get a free dab. And I took that free dab, and I was like, I need to lay down. And they let me lay down on the couch. They have a couch where people lay when they dab. And I was like, wow, I don't know if I would do this every day. This is a once-in-a-while thing. And still to this day, it's a once in a while thing. It's not something I do every day. It's something that, like, ooh, I want a good little sizzle. I want a little champagne hit. Uh-oh.
couple more questions for your weed related questions. So we picked dabs or pens already. So, and you already answered hemp or tobacco. Okay. Okay. This is a really hard one because this is the one that I always struggle with. If you can only have 3 strains for the rest of your life, what would they be? It's so difficult, I know.
3 strains for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Woo!
Okay.
I would say green crack. I really, really like green crack. It helped me through college. It helped me through my life decision. Yes. And it smells good. It's just, you wake up in the morning, you're like, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Second one. Jupiter. Because Jupiter has helped me to be courageous in what I say and in my podcast and stuff like that. Like, it gives you balls.
Okay.
And you need balls. You
know? Shout out to Jupiter. I've never had this before. I don't think this is available where I am.
Yeah. Oh, God. That Jupiter, I don't know what it is, but it will have you, like, open, honest, very on your spiritual realm, but you'll still have the giggles, but you're very calm.
To look for this Jupiter. Okay.
Yes. Jupiter, you're going to go to Jupiter. Third one. Oh my gosh. Okay, this third one got to be a good one. This got to be a good one. I'm like looking at all my flowers now. Like, which one? You know, I really like. Oh, this is so hard. Okay. Because, you know, I got one for the mind.
Okay.
We got one for the body and the soul. Okay, so now let's go for the intimacy.
Need like
part.
A good indica.
So I would say intimate. Yeah, and it's not even like the indica that'll put you to sleep, you know? So I like wedding cake. Wedding cake, I would say, yeah, because it's kind of like an aphrodisiac at the same time. And it's like sweet and warm and it makes you want to be cuddly. So, yeah, it would be green crack.
Green
Jupiter,
crack and wedding cake are wedding so cake. Different. So that's so funny you put them on here.
Yes. And the crazy thing is I miss both of them. So imagine that. It's like you got energy and arousal all at once. So it's like...
And then your final question, your go-to, this one might be hard for you too, your go-to stoner munchie snack. I was like, this might be a challenge.
Oh, yeah, you know that's snacks. Hard. Damn, this is hard? Only one?
I'm so sorry. You're like, I have to get rid of this one.
Because it's like this sometimes is true. You know, you can't have one without the other. It's like french fries and ice cream. Okay. I can do it. Okay. I really, really, really like frozen yogurt. So I would say like Pinkberry or Yogurtland. Yeah. Like... I just like it. You know, it makes me happy. Like, I even had to tell my man. I was like, oh, you want to get out of the clownery school? We got to go to Yogurt Land. And he started laughing. He's like, are you serious?
Like, that's all I need. Food and makeup store. Please and thank you.
But Yogurt Land. Yeah. Like.
What goes with your wings? Do you have the wings and the frozen yogurt together? Like, do you eat the wings first and frozen yogurt after? Or do you eat them separately?
Either or, whichever mood I'm in. I might be in a frozen yogurt mood first.
Okay.
And then eat wings after. But most of the time is wings
first. That's a hard one. Now I'm thinking about it myself. I couldn't answer. I don't even know.
Yeah, I need
some wings.
Oh, man.
Well, that's
wings.
All my questions for you. Thank you so much for answering all those and just giving us so much just, like, wisdom. Like I said, I hope y'all had a pencil and paper and was writing stuff down, because you gave us some real quotes, some real high commentary quotes in real time.
Yeah, because that's Jupiter.
So get a Jupiter. I'm glad you had Jupiter while being on Wine, Weed, and Weave then.
Oh, yes. I bought it just for that. I was
Is there anything else you want to share with us? Anything you want to plug? Of course, follow her Instagram at High Commentary, just HAGH, like high, obviously.
Yes, commentary. I got my YouTube is High Commentary. My podcast is High Commentary. I pretty much try to keep everything High Commentary. The only one that may not be in the link is in my bio is like my OnlyFans. Don't think there's any tetas or toto. I ain't showing none of that. You know, I might be just a little extra cute, small, guess I ain't that, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm here to like inspire and motivate women to be alphas, you know, be alphas in your own right, build your own courage, build your own sense of self without, you know, being tainted by society standards and what you see on Instagram. Because a lot of the time people will show you, you know, their happy times, but they're not going to show you their bad times, nor will they express it because, you know, it's not something of interest. But at the same time, we're human. And if you don't express those things, how can you allow others to express themselves? And that's, you know, another reason why people get depressed and go through, you know, suicide and all these things is because social media has, you know, the people within social media that only show the positive sides rarely show the negative sides, the sad sides, the human side. It's all, you know, sunshine and sunglasses and smoking weed and happiness, but you don't really see people like, yo, shit is stressing me out. Mm. Where people could be in that same realm. And you want to be able to express and purge yourself in order for you to move forward to the happy parts of you. But you got to get over, you know, the fucked up parts. And the only way you can is if you purge. So I'm just a purger, you know? I'm the vessel. I put it out there. I want women to express themselves. I want women to be, you know, modest but still sexy, to be honest, to be secure in their spirituality, but also true to themselves in a world where most people aren't.
Do you have a quote for us to end it off with?
Ooh.
What's your words of wisdom for today?
Oh, okay, yeah. You know, I would say it's my mom's word of wisdom. And it's something that I've learned to, you know, take into my own life. And that is, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Okay.
And meaning, you know, in your friendships, in your relationships, even in, you know, your job positions, you have to understand that what may be good, you know, what a person does to you, they need to understand that it's going to be good for them too. Sometimes you have to show people what it is to be happy and also show people what it is to be hurt. So, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What you think, you know, something can't happen to you, it can.
Facts.
You know, like people will always think like, that's not going to happen to me. That's not going to happen to me. Just because you're the goose doesn't mean you can't be the gander.
Y'all heard it here first. I mean, not first, but you know, y'all heard it here straight from the High Commentary.
Yeah, you got to treat people how you want to be treated.
On period.
Yeah, you have to. And that's what, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. My mom would tell my dad that all the time. Like, if he would say something, she would be like, all right. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know, and I would just laugh, and I never understood until my mom broke it down. And she was like, sometimes men will think like what's good for them, you know, is not good for us. Like, you know, they want to eat a burger and you should have a salad. And my mom's like, no, what if I want a fucking burger? You know, like what if I want that? And that's something that women need to stand up for. Like, you know, a lot of men will try to play you out. And even your friends will play you out, you know, that you may be a person that treats your friends to dinner, that may invite them to places, or, you know, and they don't do that to you. Okay, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Now you've been revoked.
Well, there's y'all's Sunday wisdom from High Commentary. Amen.
Self-care. Well,
thank you Self-care so much Sunday. For being on. I super appreciate it. And just all of the stuff you just told us today. I'm just taking it in. I'm high and I'm just like taking in all this wisdom. And I'm about to go sit outside in the sun and just like self-care for the rest of the day. So hopefully you guys self-care too. Hopefully you get to self-care the rest of the day too, girl. Because it's self-care Sunday.
Oh, yes. I'm about to like put on my face. You know, you already know I'm going to be on High Commentary, be on my Instagram, probably, you know, post something, be on my live, because I really like to interact with people. So even when it's just like 4 or 5 people on my shoot, good, because then y'all get the tea more than those that, you know, don't, you know what I mean? Because then it allows you to be like, oh my God, this dude is pissing me off. You know, you could do that on a live more so than in a story.
Well, you'll probably be on live before this episode is out. Or maybe after. So you'll get a live and an episode from both of us today. So y'all just stay tuned. I'll put it on my Instagram. But then again, for listening, I'm really excited that you were season 2 opener, like the perfect person to have on for season 2. Of course. Make sure to follow my Instagram as well. This is where you guys will see all the announcements for the podcast, like what time I post and everything. This will be live by this evening. I don't have an exact time, but by this evening, Sunday evening. And then if you follow the hashtag wine, weed, and weave, you can see all the episodes there too. So thank you so much, High Commentary. I loved having you on. I'm gonna have you on again, probably.
You're very welcome, girl.
You have a good rest of your Sunday, okay? Bye, everyone. Say hi.
You too.
I didn't forget you guys. We are still doing the Black Cannabis brand shout outs. Don't forget, these are free. So just send me Black owned cannabis brands, whether you own one or know of one or have a specific brand you really just love and want to shout out. Go ahead and send them my way and I will share them when I can. So for this week, it's going to be the Executive Suite, and it is a Black owned CBD skincare brand created by Miss Sunny. Sunny is also based in Houston, from Houston, Texas, just like me. So I really relate to Sunny and her story. Her products are all natural, all handmade, and all CBD infused, which we always love CBD over here. And she has some CBD massage candles, a CBD half-baked body butter, and then all of her products, like I said, are all natural, vegan, cruelty-free, everything you want in skincare, obviously. So check her out on Instagram at The Executive Suite, and the website is www.theexecutivesuite.com.